This is At Your Service, a series of GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service, highlighting programs and services intended to improve your quality of life. This program is sponsored by the John and Mary Franklin Foundation. I'm your host, Ken Traina, and joining us today for this month's episode of At Your Service is Jennifer Hogan. She's the Disaster Preparedness Coordinator for the Division of Aging Services with the Georgia Department of Human Services. Jennifer, thanks for joining us today. Let's get started. Tell us a little bit about what the Division of Aging Services provides.
The Division of Aging Services, otherwise known as DAS, which is D-A-S, leads and administers a statewide system of services for senior citizens, individuals with disabilities, their families, and caregivers throughout Georgia's 159 counties.
All right, and what is your role at the Division of Aging Services?
I'm the Disaster Preparedness Coordinator. One of the services DAS provides is assisting state agencies, the Aging Network, and older adults, people with disabilities, for they themselves to prepare for a disaster.
Now, if you don't mind, could you explain what you mean by the Aging Network?
Aging Network is what we refer to as every agency, every county government that works towards providing services for older adults. So that would be the local area agencies on aging. That would be local senior centers, which are often county funded. That would be local providers of the community care program, which is one of the programs that is funded through DAS. So all of those services, providers, agencies coming together to serve older adults, we use the umbrella term Aging Network.
All right, Jennifer, tell us about older adults in Georgia.
The aging of Georgia's population is one of the most significant trends affecting our state today. About 10% of Georgia's population is 65 and older, and that's increasing. And certainly it'll increase this year. Since the first baby boomers, the generation born between 1946 and 1964, will celebrate their 65th birthdays. This growth in the elderly population is placing greater demands on state government. To meet these challenges, the Division of Aging Services continues to strengthen its public and private partnerships with an array of community-based agencies. By focusing on the outcomes of these services and streamlining programs, the division makes sure that the services are cost-effective and that they're responding to the needs of this growing elderly population and also the people with disabilities.
And what services might this new generation of older adults need?
This generation is certainly more than ever looking to have choices and be able to make informed decisions based on those choices. And they're also looking to stay in their home and in the community as long as possible. The last thing that most people today want is to live in a long-term care facility. And so we are developing more programs and more services that will allow people to age in place, age in their home. And that means the home itself, but it also means the community that's around them, trying to make sure things are accessible, like there's sidewalks so people can walk when they shouldn't be driving and can still access services like the grocery store and the post office box. So people want to stay in their home, and we want them to stay in their home as long as possible. Only when absolutely necessary do we want people to be in a long-term care facility.
Ms. Hogan, in your opinion, would you say that over the last 20 years, options for seniors have improved significantly?
Yes, there's almost an overwhelming number of options. When it comes to Medicare alone, you have an infinite amount of choices with plans and how those plans are delivered, if it's an HMO, a PPO. It's like a maze of alphabet soup and just trying to figure it all out. So that certainly is a challenge. But we also have great programs that are ready to help someone through that challenge. Programs like Georgia Cares that does objective counseling on Medicare and Medicaid, talks about the prescription drug plans, helps someone figure out what their needs are, and then helps them narrow down the choice. They're not going to make the decision for you, but they're going to help you make the most informed decision possible. And that's a free service that is funded through the Division of Aging Services.
Wow, it's certainly wonderful to have so many more available options.
Absolutely. There are a variety of long-term care options, not just nursing homes, but assisted living, personal care homes, community living arrangements. And then there are more options when it comes to having services come into your home, either through private pay or sometimes a private-public partnership. So there are certainly a lot of options out there.
And what eligibility requirements exist for someone to qualify to receive your services?
Well, that really depends because our programs are so varied. The eligibility does vary along with that program. So some of our programs serve 60 and older, some serve 65 and older. We serve adult victims of abuse, neglect, and exploitation. Some of those victims are 18 and older with a disability or 65 and older, regardless of ability, disability. We serve Medicare and Medicaid beneficiaries. We serve those with functional impairments, people who are 55 and older seeking employment opportunities. We have a program for them, caregivers. We have a lot of programs to meet the needs of older adults and people with disabilities. So I can't just say a blanket 65 and older is considered old and those are who we serve, because it's not a picture really of the people that need services today. There are a lot of people who are functioning with a disability in the community for younger ages, and we definitely want to be a resource for them as well. And a lot of people do think Division of Aging is only aging, but we do serve a lot of younger adults as well.
So what are some of the different programs that your agency provides?
Well, one of the programs that we do have at the division is the Community Care Service Program, which helps Medicaid-eligible individuals who cannot live without support on their own and would probably otherwise be in a nursing home because that's the only way they could get the support they would need to live. You know, nursing services, other support services. So this program provides assistance in their home so we can keep them in the community and in their home for longer periods of time and avoid that placement in a nursing home. Eligible individuals might receive adult daycare, adult day health services, which might be personal care, nursing care, some type of therapy, speech, occupational therapy, physical therapy, if they've had a fall and they need to start to learn how to reuse a new hip or a broken leg, dietary services, social work. Also, it might be that they need an emergency response service so that they're in an isolated area, they don't have any family to support them, they might need to be able to call someone in an emergency. They might need home-delivered meals so that they eat nutritional meals on a regular basis, and that program can help provide that service in their home. So the Community Care Service Program, which sometimes people call CCSP, is for someone who might qualify for a nursing home, but we can provide those services for them in their home. We can't give a blanket statement as to this person is definitely eligible because there is an assessment process. And there are some waiting lists out there, which sometimes scares people off, but that waiting list is based on need, not entry into the program. So if someone has a lot of needs, they might get services faster than someone who just has maybe one or two needs. So they'll jump to the head of the line because they have the most need. So don't let someone saying a waiting list is out there scare you off from calling and finding out more about that program.
All right, Jennifer, can you give our listeners some more information about this extraordinary service you provide called Meals on Wheels?
Yes, that's a great program, probably one of our most known and visible programs. And someone might qualify for that service through our Home and Community-Based Services Program, which everybody is assessed for all their needs and how best we can provide those needs. And it might be that they only need Meals on Wheels, which is a home meals delivery program. Or they might need adult daycare. They might need access to a senior center so that they're getting their meals there. And they're also getting opportunities for physical education class, public education classes, and some other socialization for that way. So when someone calls in and says we need Meals on Wheels, the individual at the Area Agency on Aging will take a lot of time to ask what's going on, what's this person's functional abilities, what other things might they need, and do a full assessment so that we're providing all the services that they need and not just putting a Band-Aid on something that might be a bigger problem.
And is that what Georgia Cares is?
No, Georgia Cares is actually a completely different program. That's the program that does Medicare and Medicaid counseling. So they are the ones who spend a lot of time understanding how Medicare works, how to explain it to others, and they actually train volunteers who are in your local community who can sit down with you at a senior center or at the library and talk to you, or over the phone, talk to you about your Medicare needs, what prescription drugs you're on, what kind of doctors and pharmacists you use, and then they try to work with you through the Medicare system to figure out what are, you know, is it best for you to be an original Medicare with a Part B? Is it best for you to be in an HMO through Medicare? And all that fun alphabet soup, they will sit down for free and walk you through the process of choosing the best Medicare for you.
All right, in my notes here, I have something about SMP. Can you provide us with some information about that?
That's a component of Georgia Cares, SMP, and that formerly used to be called the Senior Medicare Patrol. And they will help with someone who thinks that they might have been a victim of Medicare fraud, waste, or abuse. Lots of times they're in Medicare and Medicaid, actually. Fraud exists, but the system can't figure it out because the person who received the service isn't calling in to complain. So when someone thinks that they've been defrauded through Medicare, or Medicare has been defrauded through them, I guess, rather, they can call in, we can talk about what's going on. Maybe they got a substandard piece of durable medical equipment. They thought they were getting a new wheelchair and they got a used wheelchair. Perhaps they got a phone call saying they could get a free monthly durable medical supplies and incontinence supplies, diabetic supplies, and they're getting four times as much as they need and they can't get it to stop, and Medicare is being billed. Those are all examples of types of waste, abuse, or fraud that might be going on with the Medicare system. So we encourage those people to call the SMP program, which they can reach through our 1-800 number, which is 1-866-55-AGING or 1-866-552-4464. They can find their local SMP project and talk to a volunteer who can determine if fraud, waste, or abuse is going in and help them make a report of that to the federal government. And every bit of that helps. We're losing billions of dollars to Medicare fraud, waste, and abuse. So every penny that we can stop from illegitimately going out of the system will help pay for that system for a lot longer.
And if someone calls in, can they remain anonymous?
They can. With most of our programs, we'll always allow someone to become anonymous, make a report anonymously if that is what they want to do. But we will always get farther if we can know who they are and where they are and what's going on in their community, because it might be a community-wide program. And we do keep things very confidential at the division. We keep people's confidentiality very serious. So if you were calling in about abuse, neglect, exploitation, or you're calling in to report fraud, waste, and abuse in Medicare, if you have concerns about being known as making a complaint, then talk to the individual about that, and they can really walk you through the steps of how the report is made so that you can really be secure that your identity is not going to be all over the 6 o'clock news. That's not how it works.
All right. I understand another service your division provides is Adult Protective Services. Can you give us a definition of Adult Protective Services?
Adult Protective Services investigates abuse of those who are 18 and older with a disability or 65 and older. They must be living in the community and not a facility. If it's a long-term care facility, that would be somebody else. And they also need to be at risk of harm, and harm being that abuse, neglect, or exploitation.
All right, and can you provide a few details or examples of exploitation?
Exploitation, we usually mean financial exploitation. So someone who is stealing the Social Security or disability check, and the individual who that check is intended for is not receiving any of that money, that could potentially be financial fraud. Someone who's writing checks on an account that they're not entitled to write checks on someone who's opened a credit card in the older adult's name and they're not authorized to do so. Those all may be financial exploitation, probably. I can never say 100% without knowing the full circumstances, but we've got some great investigators around the state of Georgia who can look into the situation and determine if that it is financial exploitation.
All right. So if someone thinks or suspects that there is some sort of adult abuse, they should simply call the police and eventually APS would be involved. Is that correct?
Well, if they think that someone is in immediate risk, they're right now they're hurt, they're potentially something's broken, there's a physical injury that needs immediate attention, we definitely want them to call 911 and that person needs to get immediate help. And then once they get to the hospital, they're healthcare needs are taken care of. The hospital will help make that report to Adult Protective Services. But if they're just concerned about someone, they have some gut feelings that something's not right, maybe they are across the street as a neighbor and just hear or see something that just doesn't sit right with them, we really encourage people to trust their instincts and give us a call. That's give the Division Adult Protective Services Central Intake a call and make a report. And we've got trained professionals who can talk to you about what your suspicions are, what your observations are. We might need some more information for you to call back in, or we can take that report with what information you call in with and open that for an investigation. It can depend on how much information you have. So we encourage people to sit down, kind of think about all your observations so that you can paint the picture for us of what you're observing and what your concerns are so we can make the best determination we can.
Jennifer, would you say that adult abuse is a big problem in Georgia?
It is a very underreported social problem, and that's true for a variety of reasons, but there are a lot of older adults who are being abused and people with disabilities who are being abused that it never gets reported. There's some studies that say only 1 in 14 actually get reported. That leaves 13 victims out there that are not receiving any help, any services, and continue to be abused. So it is a big problem. It seems to be growing because we are getting more calls in the central intake number. So we certainly want more and more people to report anything that they are suspicious of so that we can catch strangers if they're coming through and defrauding, you know, everybody on the street who's over 65, or if it's a family member who seems like they've taken someone in to take care of them and then they're never seen again because maybe they're locked in the basement. That's not a quality of life that we want people to have.
All right. And just so that our listeners are certain, can you again reiterate, what is abuse?
Abuse of an older adult or a person with disability, it can be physical, emotional, sexual, financial. It can be neglect or self-neglect. Abuse occurs when someone intentionally causes harm or puts someone at risk of harm. Neglect occurs when someone intentionally or unknowingly withholds basic necessities or basic care. Self-neglect refers to a person's inability to provide care and support for themselves. So because of early stages, Alzheimer's or dementia, maybe that's not even diagnosed yet. They're not taking their medications, they're not bathing, they're not feeding themselves. That could be self-neglect, and that is reportable to Adult Protective Services.
And what signs of abuse should we be looking out for?
When it comes to physical abuse, it's very similar to domestic violence. Unexplained bruises, matching bruises on maybe both arms where it looks like fingerprints, pinching marks can be a common one. The story not matching the injuries. So if someone says they fell forward and all the injuries seem to be on one side or on their back, that sort of thing would be a warning sign. When it comes to emotional, that's really more challenging to recognize. But what you could look for is a change in behavior. If someone was very outgoing previously and they've moved into a new living situation and suddenly they've stopped talking, they've withdrawn, or vice versa, they used to be pretty independent and not a big talker and now they want to be around people all the time. Maybe they took care of themselves with hygiene and suddenly they're not taking care of themselves. it's worth a few questions to ask them, you know, what's different? What's going on? Are you okay? Are you safe? Did you eat today? I mean, just simple questions that show that you're caring and that it's an open door. It's a safe place to talk about what's going on.
If someone is being abused inside a facility and that person must advocate for themselves, what phone number should that individual call?
If they're in a facility, they should call Healthcare Facilities Regulation, and that number is 1-800-878-6442. And they can look into allegations of abuse, neglect, and exploitation in a long-term care facility. If they're not sure it's abuse, but it does seem like there are someone's rights may be violated and they're just trying to figure out what's going on with that individual, they might also consider calling the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. And they are resident advocates, a great program. They'll go into the facility, they'll talk to residents, see what their concerns are, and then advocate on behalf of the residents. They get permission from the residents to speak on their behalf and talk with either the facility, they'll talk with maybe their family, and really try to resolve the issues. In order to reach the Ombudsman Program, they can also call our division's 166 number that we've given a couple of times.
All right, Ms. Hogan, can you talk to us a little bit about the National Caregiver Family Program?
I can. The National Family Caregiver Support Program supports family caregivers in the challenges that they have as they try to care for either an older adult or a person with disabilities, which can be a younger individual. There's a lot of challenges when it comes to that. When you're dealing with someone who needs constant support, personal care, that can be emotionally and physically challenging. So the family support program can give them emotional support, can give them respite services in terms of adult daycare, case management assistance, and allow them to run some errands, allow them to take some time for themselves or do some other things that need to be done and not have to worry about leaving the older adult or the person with a disability at home alone. Lots of times that can be a very dangerous situation. So caregivers often give and give and give and don't take care of themselves. So we have several different programs through the division that can help those caregivers so that they are taking care of themselves and they can take care of their family member for a longer period of time.
Now, if someone is a caregiver, what might that caregiver need to always keep in mind?
Any individual who brings somebody into their home, and we do have, you know, community members who bring another, you know, a neighbor into their home and desire to take care of them. So they are taking on that caregiving role, which does have a responsibility to it. I don't like to give any blanket statements about what is or isn't, but some signs of neglect are individuals who have not seen the doctor, are not eating nutritious meals, cannot go to the bathroom regularly, either because the door is locked, you know, they're forced to wear diapers even though they don't need diapers. A lot of warning signs can be in terms of in the neglect category. So if that person is not getting, you know, those basic, you know, food, shelter, clothing in a quality of life, you know, that's certainly something that we could take, listen to that complaint, investigate, and determine if neglect is going on. Sometimes people just get overwhelmed, and if we bring in respite services, you know, that home and that relationship can be restored. So it really depends on what's going on and what the motives are, but certainly those are some warning signs for neglect that we really would encourage people to call in those concerns if they see that situation. And that would be call Adult Protective Services if they see those warning signs in terms of neglect.
And how about where employment is concerned?
The Senior Employment Program helps low-income individuals 55 and older with part-time job training. So someone who maybe worked for a long time in a certain job, but that job is no longer available. Maybe they need some retraining or they need to work as a part-time and learn a new skill or a new system and connect to a new type of job. That is possible through the Senior Employment Program. Mastering new job-related skills, they learn while they're earning a little bit of money. Sometimes people have retired from a job but don't really have enough income to fully retire, and they want to try a different type of job. And so sometimes they get that opportunity through the Senior Employment Program. So it can be a great resource for someone who maybe needs a little bit more income coming in. They're not ready to fully retire yet. And some people just love to work, even though know, the job that they've been working in, it doesn't work for them anymore. Maybe too physical or too much outside too much. You know, there are a variety of reasons, but it can be a great opportunity to learn a different job and learn and earn at the same time.
All right, Jennifer, again, thank you so much for your time. We've been talking to Jennifer Hogan, Disaster Preparedness Coordinator from the Division of Aging Services with the Georgia Department of Human Services. If you need to get a hold of some more information, please contact the Division of Aging Services at 1-866-552-4464. Again, that phone number at the Division of Aging Services is 1-866-552-4464. Again, our thanks to Jennifer Hogan for joining us today. You've been listening to At Your Service, and we are so proud that we are sponsored by the John and Mary Franklin Foundation. This has been At Your Service. My name is Ken Traina, and as always, thank you for listening to GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service.